Good morning to you, Grace Life Bible Class, on this beautiful, glorious day. I miss hearing your voices and the turning of your pages as we have our class, and we long to be together, and Lord willing, maybe that would happen soon. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your Word. Open our eyes, open our ears to hear the truths of your Word, that we may grow in you, and we just thank you for this opportunity. Amen. Last week, we looked at Psalm 139:14, which says, I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We read in Psalm 111, verse 2, great are the works of the Lord, and they are studied by all who delight in them. We talked about not taking things for granted, such as our eyesight that we use every day, about developing a heart of thanks. We looked at Lot not protecting his eyes from what he saw, and Job making a covenant with his eyes to protect them. We saw what the disciples saw through their sharing the pictures they painted in the Word of God, and we are given by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Today we're going to look at another of our senses, our hearing. We probably take that even more for granted than sight, because it just happens. But truly, it is a gift given by God. Let's look at Psalm 100, 3 and 4. Psalm 100, verses 3 and 4. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. We need to be developing that thankful heart, as we talked about last week, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. We truly need to bless his name and give thanks for our senses. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. Hearing is truly a gift. I have lost some of my hearing. I don't hear the tea kettle whistling, or I can't hear a test meter at work beeping when I had continuity between end of a checking wire. And the guys would holler all the way across the shop, your meter is beeping, and I, leaning over my meter, can't even hear it. I've lost some tones there. But I'm thankful for what I do have. I can hear my wife calling me to breakfast, and I can hear John Zimmer teaching us the Word of God. I can hear my grandkids ask, Grandpa, how big is God? And I have the opportunity to hear them and tell them about God. Let's look at the workings of the ear. The outer ear acts as a funnel to direct the sound to the inner ear canal. The middle ear, our eardrum, vibrates at exactly the same frequency as the sound waves and transmits vibrations to the three smallest bones in your body, the hammer, the stirrup, and the anvil. The inner ear, also called the labyrinth, is really intricate and complex, with little tubes and channels swirling round and nerves connected to them. There are little hairs, very fine, that help us hear in the inner ear. If these hairs get knocked flat through loud noise, they get damaged and don't heal, and as a result, we get hearing loss. When I got hearing aids, I was amazed at what I was missing. Hearing is such an amazing gift. Let's remember to thank God for it. Let's look at hearing in the Word of God. Let's take a look at James 1, 19 through 25. James 1, 19 through 25. Beginning at verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but every one must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of the wickedness in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Do you notice that we, as I read that, were to be quick to hear and slow to speak? We really get that one backwards. We have the gift of two ears and one mouth. I think we sometimes really need to listen more. And guys, if you want to enhance your marriage, work on being a better listener. Verse 22 says, be doers of the word and not merely a hearer. True hearing of the word, of the word will move you forward in your growth in Christ. And verse 25, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. Let's take a look in God's Word at Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to take a look at verses 7 through 11. Genesis 3, verses 7 through 11. And notice our senses here as I read verses 7 through 11. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" Did you notice in there they had an innocence about them before the fall? In verse 7, their eyes were opened. Verse 8, they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Have you ever pondered how precious this sound was before the fall? They heard the sound of the Lord in the garden. And verse 9, the Lord calls, "Where are you?" And God wants Adam to confess. Psalm 139 that we read last week, verse 2 says, "You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar." And verse 7 in Psalm 139 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?" Back to Genesis chapter 3 in verse 10. Notice this is the first place that we see fear in the Bible. Not a reverential awe sort of fear, but a fear of eyes opened to sin. And notice now, because of sin, the sound of God walking in the garden is no longer precious as their creator. They're trying to hide in fear of God. To us as believers, through what Christ did on the cross for our sin, the sound of the Lord walking in the garden is a precious sound. In Genesis 3 again, we see in verse 21, God took animal skins for Adam and Eve, a covering for them and their sin. A broken fellowship with God to no longer hear that precious sound of the Lord walking in the garden. They were driven out of the garden, it being guarded by a cherubim with a flaming sword to stop their reentry. Let's take a look at 1 Kings 18, 24 through 39. 1 Kings 18, 24 through 39. And it says, "Then you call upon the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God." And all the people said, "That is a good idea." So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one ox for yourself and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it." Then they took the ox which was given to them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, "O Baal, answer us." But there was no voice, and no one answered, and they leaped about the altar which they had made. And it came about at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Call out with a loud voice, for he is a god. Either he is occupied or gone aside or is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and needs to be awakened." So they cried with a loud voice, and they cut themselves according to their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out of them. And when midday was past, they raved until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, and no one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." So with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 measures of seed. And he arranged the wood and cut the ox in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, "Fill 4 pitchers with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood." And he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. And the water flowed around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, "O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God." This is an amazing picture of calling upon the Lord. We see the confrontation between the worshipers of Baal and Elijah. "I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God." Verse 29, their God, there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. In verse 30, Elijah calls to the people to come near, and he repaired the altar which had been torn down. And he prepared the sacrifice and set it in order and poured water on it. Now, those of you who are campers or heat your house with wood, to burn something wet is next to impossible. Verse 36, Elijah prayed, "Be it known that you are God in Israel. I have done these things at your word." You see evidence of his listening to what God had told him. Verse 37, "Answer me, O Lord, answer me that this people may know that you are Lord and our God." Then the fire of the Lord fell in verse 38 and consumed the burnt offering of the wood, stones, the dust, and licked up the water in the trench. Such an amazing picture. We truly have a God who hears, brothers and sisters, a God whose ears are open to our cry. And we are created in his image. He has given us the gift of hearing. If we take a look at Psalm 18:6, it says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord, and I cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears." And if we look farther in Psalms, at Psalm 89:15 through 17 says, "How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of your countenance, and in your name they rejoice all the day, and by your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor our horn is exalted." We're working on developing a heart of thanks. Think about it. How can we proclaim something if we're not thankful for it? If we're not thankful for Christ going to the cross? If we're not thankful for the Word of God? Are you thankful for what you do have? Or are we always whining over what we are missing? Let's take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Follow along as I read, and notice all the references to sight and hearing as I read Deuteronomy chapter 6. "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you're going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes, his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And then it shall come about, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to you, to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied. Then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. And you shall fear only the Lord your God and shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who surround you. For the Lord your God in the midst of you is a jealous God. Otherwise, the anger of the Lord your God will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you off the face of the earth. And you shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah. And you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you and that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore to give your fathers, by driving out all your enemies from before you as the Lord has spoken. And when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what do the testimonies and statutes and the judgments mean which the Lord our God commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us from Egypt with a mighty hand. Moreover, the Lord showed great and distressing signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt, Pharaoh and all his household. And he brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land which he has sworn to our fathers. So the Lord commanded us to obey and observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival as it is today. It will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God, just as he commanded us. So we see all kinds of hearing in there. Teach. You definitely hear when someone is teaching you, so that, and those are instructions for further down, you should listen and careful to do it. Hear, O Israel, and then it says, you shall, these words, and shall be. Teach them diligently, shall talk of them, a visual sign to you. You shall write them on the doorposts and gates, instructions that to be obedient to God. 10 and 12 through 12, a sight picture of God's graciousness. Watch yourselves, a warning. Verses 13 through 17, listen to God's commands. 18, do right in God's sight. And verse 20, if you're doing what God commands, your son will ask. We're to teach the next generation, is what this whole chapter is all about, God's greatness. Verse 24 and 25, notice the end result, to be in awe of God for our good, for our survival, for our righteousness, and for our protection. This is so important, to be good listeners to the word of God. And like we talked about last week about protecting our eyes, are we protecting our ears, our hearing? Do you wear ear protection? Do you protect your ears spiritually? Last week, we were reminded of a little Sunday school song about be careful little eyes. The next verse is be careful little ears what you hear. Be careful little ears what you hear. For your Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Do we remember Lot from last week in 2 Peter 2:8? He tormented his soul by what he saw and what he heard. Some of us are in rough places where we work. There's rough language there. And are you, it's really important, are you letting your light shine before them to give an answer for the hope that lies within you? Some of the places we work, you hear things, and what can happen is what I call stain your mind. So it's even more important to be in prayer, to be in the Word, and to memorize and ponder on your heart God's Word. Let's look at Philippians 4, 7 through 9. Philippians 4, 7 through 9. 7 through 9. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Did you notice the guard your heart and to guard your mind? And notice the all things to dwell on. Dwelling on something is like really camping out there to have your soul just ponder on it for a long time. Verse 9, check out the you have learned and you have received and heard and seen. Practice day by day moving up and to the right, as our pastor says. And what's the guarantee? It says the God of peace will be with you. I recently read a biography on George Whitefield. He had a daily self-exam. And at the start, he asked, have I? And have I, number one, been fervent in private prayer? Two, have I used stated hours of prayer? Three, have I used prayer every hour? Four, have I after or before every deliberate conversation or action considered how it might tend to God's glory? Have I after any pleasure immediately given thanks? Have I planned for business for the day? Have I been simple and recollected in everything? Number eight, have I been zealous in undertaking and active in doing what good I could? Nine, have I been meek, cheerful, affable in everything I said or did? Have I been vain, proud, or unchaste, or enviable of others? 11. Have I recollected in eating and drinking, thankful, temperate in sleep? 12. Have I taken time for giving thanks? 13. Have I been diligent in studies? 14. Have I thought or spoken unkindly of anyone? Have I confessed all sins? After I was done reading the list, I thought, wow, have I taken every thought captive? Philippians 4:8 says, think on these things. Our senses teach us, they warn us, they help us move, they help us avoid things. They show us beauty, to hear a rushing river, a babbling brook, a trickle of water, or a drip. All pictures that God just allowed you to see in your mind from your hearing. Such a God-given gift, we are truly fearfully and wonderfully made, as it says in Psalm 139:14. We're allowed to see God's glory with our senses. Take in the sights of the Grand Canyon and the beautiful sight and sound of the waves on the coast. And I'd like to show you something. This was an article and picture in the Everett Herald from Friday, August 25th, 1961. Here's the whole page. And this was put in by the Herald. This is not sponsored by anyone, but this is put in by the Herald. And here's what it says. The master painter, when day and night draws nigh, the master painter takes the sky and makes it a canvas on which he paints a picture that no human artist can match. Using colors that are not for the common man, he etches against the western horizon a scene that erases from man's mind the crass memories of a dull day. With the help of the sinking sun, a glorious scene is created against the western sky. It is a changing scene. An artist, be he equipped with paintbrushes or camera, may catch a fragment of it, as has been done in the picture above. But for the matchless artist, it is a moving scene. As the sun sinks behind those Olympic mountains that form Everett's and Snohomish County's matchless western horizon, the sky turns from azure blue to golden, then pink, and then to matchless red that has been captured in the picture above. As each mood, each color changes in the sky, so changes the color on the waters of Puget Sound below. The clouds but help add to the wondrous beauty of this overall picture. Man's mere words cannot add glitter to such a scene of unmatched beauty. The glory that God creates so many evenings of the year for those of us fortunate to live here in Snohomish County and Puget Sound, let the picture tell the story for all to remember. This was in the Everett Herald when it really was a newspaper of thick substance. It's amazing about, you know, here's a picture painted from that they understand that God created all that, a godly view. The Word of God opens our senses to God's greatness through the Holy Spirit. If you read Psalm 119:11, it says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." In verse 11, treasuring requires pondering and meditating. Verse 15 talks about meditating. And verse 16 in Psalm 119 talks about delighting in the Word of God. And do we truly understand what it is to treasure the Word of God? Our Russian friends that we had a few years ago were telling us when she was a little girl, their family only had one page of the Bible. I also heard from others from Russia that they would cut up a Bible so they could trade pages that everyone might be able to read a portion. I mean, how precious is that? We've never been restricted of having a Bible, and they were. And so that's just an amazing story. And we might have like 10 Bibles in our houses and the Bible on the phone. Do we truly value the Word of God, though? If we look at Amos 8:11, it says, "Behold," there's our wake up and listen and see word, the attention getter. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather hearing for the words of the Lord." Did you notice that? Hearing of the words of the Lord. Then we have that, an old song I remember. "Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me." It says, "Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home." Whether Christ is calling you to confess and repent of your sins, or he's calling you to the tasks he's given you for the day, are your eyes and your ears open to him? We are truly, fearfully, and wonderfully made. Are we grateful for that? Do we give God glory due his name? Psalm 24, verses 8 through 10. Let's open our ears that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. It says, lift up your heads, O gate. Lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And we can all say amen to that. Because of the prophets and the disciples using their God-given gift of sight and hearing that we've heard, we have the Word of God open to us by the Holy Spirit. Let us remember to give thanks for it, for God's Word, and to value it and cherish it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word that you've given us, sight to see it, ears to hear it. May we hunger for your Word and be faithful hearers. We give you thanks. Amen. I challenge you this week, as you read God's Word, look at all the words that have to do with hearing and give thanks to God for it. Thank you.